This is weird.
Yeah, it is weird. I know.
I'm Jesse Northey, and we're gonna do some stuff today. We're gonna do some stuff today. Here we go.
Jesse Northey.
Hello. This is a special look into the. I want to talk it over. So it's a special look into songs, backstories. I'm Jesse Northey, and we're going to go track by track through the new Jesse and the Dandelions album, True Blue.
True Blue.
I can't hum it, because I'm not a good hummer, but I could sing it.
In the night, in the night.
Something like that. The idea that I had is that what comes in the night is like a combination of like inspiration and opportunity. The metaphor in the song is just like it's like a ship. It's like a big old like pirate ship or something that's showing up in the story of the song. I guess you have a house that's on the by the ocean or something, and the ship is going to come onto the beach, and they're like, "Hey, like your opportunity's here. Are you going to get on the ship?" And so it says like, "Are you going to hide in your house, or are you going to get onto the ship?" I think it's funny that I get to tell like an LA story because I'm not like I've hardly been there. But I was just on a fun little trip with my friend, and we were staying in Los Angeles for about a week or two. I wrote the lyrics to the song. I think I had the melody already down, but I wrote the lyrics and kind of the guts of the song when I was there. When you're there, you're just like, wow, this is where a lot of like famous people live, and there's a lot of things going down. There's movies being made and cool records being made here, and like, so you start thinking about that kind of stuff. And so I think the themes worked its way into the song. Does it mean that you didn't get on the ship if we all don't move to like Los Angeles or like New York and try and like follow our dreams there? Should I sell everything I own and like go on the road? Does that mean I didn't get on the ship? It's between you and yourself what the ship is and whether you got on it. I'm Jesse Northey. For my album with the Dandelions, True Blue, here's the lead-off track, In the Night.
It comes in the night when long gone, it's hard to bring you down.
Thank you.
I ended up taking skating lessons with no intention to become like a professional figure skater or anything, but I kept going through the levels. And then before I knew it, I was like competing in figure skating competitions, and I was winning too. But part of that was because there weren't very many other boys. I grew up in Fernie, BC. There probably was maybe 3 years of like professional lessons with one-on-one with like a coach with routines. I would have to be at the rink at like 6 a.m. There was one competition called the Sparwood Mini. It was my first competition, and it was me and one other boy, and I completely destroyed him. He came second for sure. I mean, I like skating. Moving on ice is awesome. I used to jump on the trampoline. I also like skateboarded at the same time. Like, I like doing tricks. I thought there was nothing cooler than like digging like a blade into like some ice, like flying up in the air and doing like a 360. You know, if you were on a snowboard, it'd be like a cool trick. So the trick that I couldn't get was just the normal axle. Everyone talks about like, oh, did you do triple axles? Triple axles are ridiculous. They're like, I think it's 900 degrees of spinning. The axle, you literally just approach it from the front, you jump up in the air, and you spin 1.5 times. And so you have to do a 540 and then land. It hurts when you fall down too. And you're not wearing like a helmet or anything either. And so to like jump up in the air and do a 540, it's fine when you're on a trampoline or on the ground, but when you're kind of moving forward on skates and then you got to land on the other foot, it gets a little complicated. At the same time, though, I was starting to get beat up a lot in school. People were calling me a fagger skater, so that wasn't very fun for like a grade 7 kid. I didn't want to be a martyr for like boy figure skaters. I just kind of wanted to be a normal kid. And so I quit figure skating, and I started playing guitar to try and regain some cool points or something. I thought that I needed to redeem myself, and I thought that the quickest way to do it would be to learn guitar. And look at me now. Here's No Fun off my album True Blue. I'm Jesse Northey.
I could see from afar, there's that look. Could light up a room with your charm. We could make you a star. Let's just go for a ride. We'll be over the moon with these cards and snow.
I was having a hard time like connecting the verse to the chorus, and it was also like too sweet. I mean, I love writing melodies that are just like, ooh, I call it like just pulling on the heartstrings. There's just certain notes that in combination, they just really work, and people are like, oh, that really got me. But it just seemed a little too much, and so I decided to rewrite the verse with kind of like talk speak rather than like sing-songy. But the main thing that I kind of changed around, it's a little more like groove-based. Doug Hoyer, he's a songwriter.
No, I will never leave you, no matter what I sing in song. No, I will never leave you, because you're already gone.
Doug had these old records or something that had these like breakbeat grooves, and so he chopped them up and like made a big database so that people could kind of use them for their songs. And then I think Mitch Holtby, Mitch Maddock, he's known as,
hey, honey,
is also a songwriter, but I would say more like he's a rapper.
Hey, hey, yo, what's up, funny baby? I'ma tell you some reasons why you wanna date me.
He's a producer. He's a talented pianist. He can play the saxophone. Mitch chopped up the breakbeats into like loopable parts so that you wouldn't have to like organize the drums every time you loaded them into a song. And so he made it like super user friendly. And so there's these files floating around between this circle of like these breakbeats. They sound really fun, and they sound old in a good way. The first beat that you're hearing, which is like the just that is what Doug is part from those records that Doug had. So I would just put that through the whole song, and so we've got like 4 minutes of that, and then you would build on and accent certain things and then take things away just so that you can like kind of build the song that way. But then we add some claps. Now there's a tambourine kind of going, and it's already got a beat, so it's not like you have to. It's a little more inspiring than just working by yourself or like having to figure out how the drums are going to go. You've already got like at least a song kind of going just by like dropping them in. That's the same beat, but I kind of ran it through like a little filter just for a transition. Yeah, there's a tom. There's a 707 tom. I think like there's like bleed of my singing through like Aiden's headphones when he's playing the drums. Here's where like the real drums kick in. There's a fun like sound at the end for anyone who wants to spot it. I like there's a guitar solo at the end, but I also like do like a mouth solo, sing the guitar solo by like humming, and I super distort it. So if you can hear it, then you have found the secret gem. I'm Jesse Northey, and this is the track Wishful Thinking from my album True Blue.
Sooner or later I'll come around. I'm done with wishful thinking. You're a whole new person when the lights go down. A warning light is blinking. Going to kill me.
I don't know how I would have recorded ideas before having a phone. The chorus came to me while I was watching The Hunger Games. I think it was the second one. I was watching it by myself. I was supposed to meet friends on like a Wednesday to go see it. And I don't know why, but I just really like the movies. And so 2 days before I was scheduled to go see it with friends, and I was like, you know what? I'm going. I'm just going to go see The Hunger Games tonight by myself. But while I was like watching the movie, all of a sudden the chorus for the song that I had been working on came into my head, which was True Blue. So I ran out of the theater, kind of huffing and puffing, like sang what I thought the chorus was into my phone, which I ended up using as a reference in order to like build the chorus later. But it was really important to me that I got that idea down right then, especially when I was in such an engaging movie. It would be really easy to forget. I remember days, maybe when I was like 15, I would have an idea for a song or something. I didn't have a recording device with me, and I'd be at work. I would hum the song all day, and I would hope that it was like good enough that it would stick. I used to just tell myself, well, if I can't remember it now, it probably wasn't good enough, probably wasn't actually worth remembering. But now, and whether it's better or worse, anytime I have an idea, I take out my phone. Should I just like play this into the mic or something? Like, it doesn't have to be great. I open the voice recorder app and I hum out, or I sing out. I've tried to give myself more context too, so like, don't tell the police, but I'll be like waiting at a red light, and I'll have the idea right then. I'll drum out what I want the rhythm to be on like my steering wheel, and then I'll sing the melody. And then after that, I'll do another round where while I'm still like drumming on the steering wheel, I'll sing like what the bass notes of that were, so that I can have a context for what my like silly melody just was. And sometimes you can hear like the left blinker like tick 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 while I'm trying to like write a hit in my car. I'm Jesse Northey, and this is the title track, True Blue.
Why you such a true blue? Just
Nathan did all of the string arrangements for the recording, and so that would include the song In the Night and the song North Star. Nathan, he wasn't my camp counselor, but he was a camp counselor. So he was at the camp while I was at the camp, at Crow's Nest Lake Bible Camp in the Crow's Nest Pass, which is about half an hour from where I lived in Fernie. Because of like the camp thing, like we've, it's not, definitely not family, but it's like kind of like family friend. I just asked Nathan to do some strings just because I knew that he could. He took a composition degree. So he's done, he did 4 years of school for music and to composition. So he's a really great arranger, a really great violin player, as is his wife actually plays for the Vancouver Symphony Orchestra. And so they're like a violin team, power couple as far as classical music goes. With the song North Star, I gave him, I just said, do Starman, like an old rock tune that has an orchestra behind it. I just said, here's the songs. I gave him the chords just so it was easy so he didn't have to chart it out. I didn't play out strings on a keyboard and say like, oh, I want these parts. He came up with his own melodies and stuff. Like what he gave me is what is on the recording. I didn't go back and say, yeah, everything's really great. I just don't like the melody that you came up with in the bridge or something. Nathan recorded all of the strings himself, piece by piece, in like this apartment that he has in downtown Vancouver. Their room, and I'm not sure how that affects their relationship, but he's basically glued all of this foam padding into their bedroom on the roof and on all the walls. And so he's got this pretty soundproof studio, but in an apartment building. And so he recorded like 18 different violin parts. Like here is like, it's like things are sparkling and shining. And the funny thing is, too, is that this is like, sounds great by itself, but this is like behind like a pretty heavy track. But he was the orchestra. He played the violin parts one by one in an apartment in Vancouver. He would just send them to me and I'd drop them in and sync them all up and it would sound like I have a full orchestra. There's something freeing in that, too, where especially when like it's people you really trust to be like, okay, I'm giving you this part of the song. Whatever you come up with is the song, unless it's like atrocious. But that's why you trust those people, because you know that they're going to do something that you like and maybe take it in a place that you couldn't do yourself. Everything we're hearing, this will be like four violin parts. In order to make it sound like a actual string section, he'll play the exact same part four times. But overall, it was 16 tracks of violins. And this is what it sounds like, is like all 16. They sound like Disney strings at parts, like magical. It's like Snow White's coming out of the forest and just things are gorgeous, you know. This track is called North Star from the Jesse and the Dandelions True Blue LP. I'm Jesse Northey.
Look at the shiny true North Star. Open.
I would say that this song is very Beatles inspired. I didn't even get into the Beatles until maybe like 3 years ago. Like, it took me like a really, really, really long time. I saw Paul McCartney before I even, like, I think I might have known like Hey Jude and like five other songs and didn't really know what I was seeing or why it mattered. Now I would love to see him. I just saw him at the wrong time. But when I first actually got into music, I was really, since I wanted to get really good really fast because I needed to make up for lost time being cool, I thought that I should learn a bunch of Metallica songs. If I can learn those songs, then I could probably play everything else. So I just wanted to set what I thought was like a really high bar for like guitar playing and learn those things so that I could like kind of have mastery over the instrument quickly. When I was in grade 7, I used to play one, like a song called One, Nothing Else Matters. So this is Nothing Else Matters, one of Metallica's finest ballads. I learned this in grade 7. Like, if someone said, like, do you play guitar? I'd be like, yeah, check this out. And then I would play it because it had, like, this, like, Spanish-sounding intro or something. It made it sound like you really knew how to play. Because it looks, it's like some people would play, do you know the song Classical Gas? Like, it's a showy song. It, like, shows that you're good at guitar. It's like kind of like bragging if you can pull it off. For some reason, I thought that Nothing Else Matters would be a bragging tune. And so it was my, like, show tune, you know? Like, if someone asked me, could I play, I would show it. That one. That was the one. And it's funny because they're, like, Metallica's wussiest songs. Like, they're the ones that, like, have nothing to do with metal. They're, like, just these, like, 80s power ballads, basically. Because of the name Metallica, they must be, like, good guitar players. So I learned a bunch of Metallica songs. But the people I was hanging out with, there's some people in Lethbridge, they were like, they understood their complete rock history and knew everything about every band and why and when it was recorded and what records and what songs and how to play them. And so I wanted to keep up in these conversations about like what band's doing what and who are these people. I just figured that the Beatles would be like a trump card. Like, if I could learn a bunch of Beatles facts, I could always chime into a conversation about like classic rock and say something relevant. I don't know any Led Zeppelin facts. I don't know any like Pink Floyd facts, but I know a ton of Beatles facts. Well, did you know that on back in the USSR that Paul McCartney is playing drums instead of Ringo? Because Ringo was, he like quit the band for like 2 weeks and they're like, okay, well, it's okay. We don't really need you. And so Paul McCartney played the drums on that song. So there's a couple things that I realize that are like Beatles-y, inherently like Beatles-y, and whether they are, people would argue about this, but so like, yeah, kind of like a little piano thing like this. I call it like boppy piano, just like the kind of staccato piano is a Beatles thing. What I think is Beatles-y about the song Bad Guy is like, I wanted it to have like Ringo-y fills like all over the place, and it's probably too much, but there's lots of toms, like in a hopefully like Ringo-esque way. Some of the harmonies are like a little weird, like kind of like the Beatles song, because there's just like some stacks of these vocals that are like sometimes a little dissonant. There's also this Rickenbacker guitar that's kind of distorted. It automatically throws back to a Beatles sound. And then another thing is a guitar going through a Leslie speaker, so like a rotating sound that is generally associated with like a Beatles-y sound. While My Guitar Gently Weeps has like, even though it's technically Eric Clapton playing on that song, that is generally associated with like a Beatles-y sound. So Leslie is, it's a specific type of speaker. It's usually paired up with a Hammond organ, which is like the most famous Hammond organ is called like a B3. It can make churchy sounds. Like it was like originally like a church organ. But it's ended up a million different songs. But when you think organ, you're probably thinking of a Hammond organ. And part of the Hammond signature sound is this Leslie speaker. And what it is like there's like a, it's kind of like two like horns on this spinning device. And so when you turn it on, the speakers spin. And you can control whether the speaker is spinning fast or slow. And so the fast sound, you kind of get this whirring, like the sound is like kind of coming at you from the left and right and sounds like kind of bubbly. And that's the that's the Leslie sound. So Leslie speaker is referring to this spinning speaker sound. The Beatles put everything through Leslie. It's like, oh, well, you're supposed to put a Hammond through it. Like, well, let's like reverse this and we'll put it through the Leslie. And like, they were just looking for new sounds. It was like pretty neat to be like, well, let's put our vocals through it, or let's put the guitar through it. And here's without the Leslie effect. And here it is with it on. And then it ended up being more of like a signature sound. I would say that this song is very Beatles inspired. I didn't put it through a real Leslie, but I put it through a Leslie effect. To be honest, if anyone's keeping track, just for those real tone guys who are going to call me on it, I have recorded through real Leslies, but I didn't do it specifically for this. I used a pedal that makes the Leslie sound for a lot of the effects. It's a sound that I like wanted to have in my palette, and there's a couple songs where there's a couple times on the album, if people are really listening, that you might be able to hear like the same kind of whirring guitar sound. Any sound that it has any sort of fame and is talked about, there's a way to usually recreate it live now. Like, you could perform Beatles songs better than the Beatles could, not because you're a better musician, but like a lot of the things they couldn't do live because there wasn't the effects to do it. Like, it was like you would have to put your thumb on a tape machine in order to speed up and slow down the vocals in order to get a certain vocal effect. And now you just push a button and that sound is already built in. But it's because of bands like the Beatles that those sounds are in a pedal form, and because people want to recreate them. This is the track Bad Guy off my LP True Blue. I'm Jesse Northey.
I'm a bad guy in your eyes. Every full truth is a half lie. It's a lie.
I wish you were.
I would say that I formed my identity in Lethbridge. As like later high school, you figure out who you are, who you want to be, what kind of things you actually like. You have to start picking, like, you have to pick whether you're going to take bio or chem or physics or none of them, whether or not it'll matter for when you're getting into university. So you kind of like have to pick. In that, me being a music person was part of my identity too. I left Lethbridge in 2013 in November. No one wanted me to leave. Maybe some people do, but I was afraid to let people know that I was going to be leaving. I thought that they would be like, you've abandoned us. Not that they need me or anything like that. Lethbridge does absolutely great. I was an active part of the community, and so people don't want active parts of the community to leave. And so I was worried that people would be more upset. And I think people were generally like, oh, that's a bummer. They also understood why I left, why it was important for me to go. I wanted to move to a bigger city, but not one that would like beat me up. I moved from Lethbridge to Edmonton. Whatever I made out to be this like Lethbridge loyalty thing that I was worried about, and people were like, no, it's okay, you gotta do what you gotta do, is real in Edmonton. There's a huge attitude of we're in it together, and we build a community as a team, and we have everything that it takes to be a great community. So there's more of a stigma to leaving. I think it's because of Wayne Gretzky. I think it's absolutely hilarious that, like, so we have Wayne Gretzky, one of the best hockey players of all time. And the attitude is like, okay, Wayne Gretzky, he's just a guy from Edmonton. If he can be the greatest hockey player ever, then if you work hard, so can you, whether it's hockey or whatever. But Edmonton has this sense of pride. It's in a ton of conversations. People talk about it all the time. If Edmonton was actually just like super, super great all the time, there wouldn't be talking about it. The reason why we talk about it is because it kind of sucks sometimes. Like, it's cold, and there's like, people talk about potholes. I've only like hit one pothole. I think it depends where you drive. But it comes up because Edmonton is equally great and also like not at times the greatest place to live. It's because it's hard to love that at times that you love it more and that you're more willing to like stick up for it. Where you don't have to stick up for Toronto. You don't have to stick up for Vancouver. You get to have a stake in Edmonton and be a champion for it. And I think there's something cool about how excited people are about this city. Absolutely, people leave Edmonton. But I understand why, too. I think it's important to try something else out, just so you know. That's how I felt about from Lethbridge to Edmonton. It's like, I could have been very content living in Lethbridge for the rest of my life, and it would have been fine. There's great community. But I didn't want to not know what other places were like. So going to Edmonton and even trying it out was important to me, just to get that taste. This song is kind of written from the perspective of, let's say, a friend of someone who's we'll call it a rising star, and just saying, hey, I don't really like where you're going, and you're not really yourself anymore. All the lyrics are kind of about that, where it's just like you're becoming someone who I don't understand anymore, and that's maybe one of the costs of people moving up and thinking they're hot shots. I'm Jesse Northey. This next track is called Brother, from the Jesse and the Dandelions album, True Blue. I've been walking away from your brother, 'cause I know your heart isn't listening. Yeah, this is a song that I don't know if it'll ever end up being played live. It's an album closer, and so it has like the same picking pattern as True Blue and as In the Night, which all kind of like split up the album kind of equally. I like how albums have like bittersweet songs at the end that are sometimes epic but also kind of sad, and so I wanted to do that. Like the sentimental song is usually at the end. At the end, like, there's four of me singing, and it doesn't sound right if there's only one of me singing, and so I would have to hire a choir or cloning. I mean, I'm cool with that, as long as I don't have to kill my clone. I was living in a garage suite at the time, and there was a bunch of like construction going on in the backyard, and so Aiden Lucas Buckland, who's a Edmonton-based drummer, he was doing all the drums on this album, and he had the idea to bang pieces of rebar together.
Yeah, we used real rebar. That sound is Aiden smashing together two pieces of sidewalk guts.
Rebar is like what builds sidewalks and keeps them like the cement formed into the shape or anything that's cement. Anyways, it's just like pieces of metal. The thing is that by itself too, it didn't sound awesome. And so I also like distorted it a bunch. But in the context of the song, it's playing with other drums, and so it just gives a really pingy kind of industrial sound just for like a couple seconds.
Okay, let's just do this. I have to make a little beat.
So this is technically like it's supposed to be an 808 sound. And you can change the specifics of what the sound is, like you would be able to on a 808 drum machine. But anyway, so that's the 808 preset, and then I'll change it to something else. I got a $2 drum machine app on my iPhone, and so it models a bunch of famous drum machines, like a Roland 808 is a very famous drum machine, but in order to find a real 808, it might cost something like $2,000. Whereas you can kind of simulate the sounds and get them pretty close, or they might even be able to sample the sounds, and it'll sound pretty much the same. But the reason why they're so expensive is because being analog, they make different sounds all the time. It's kind of more like a living, breathing machine that is a little more unpredictable. So this is like it says it's a 909, which is just like a later version. So you can find what flavors you like. These drum machines that I got from the iPhone are a pre-recorded sound, but you can make whatever type of beat you want, organize it however you want. You can pick between different famous drum machines and make your own sounds. And so I used that to kind of get like if there's any electro drum feel on this song, it's because I used the drum machines on the iPhone. So yeah, I can't afford an 808. Plus, try bringing rebar to a gig. I'm Jesse Norley, and this is the final cut of my True Blue album. It's called Underwater. That's it.
That's it.
That's it.
That's it.
That's it. That's it. I'm Jesse Northey. Thanks for listening to my album, True Blue.
True Blue.
Plus all the stories behind it. This audio companion was produced by Sarah Hoyles. I want to thank her and everyone else who made this album possible. A few role models in my life that I like to thank. Scott McKellar, Scott Franchuk, Nick Kozub, and Doug Organ have all been very good engineering mentors, but also just they're older than me and they're taller than me too. I'm not a very tall man. I can look up to them. I want to thank Chris Winters, Carly Klassen, Jessica Marsh, part of Alberta Music. AFA, the Alberta Foundation for the Arts, helped fund the album, and so I want to thank Alberta Foundation for the Arts. Places like the Slice and the Owl in Lethbridge, Wonder Bar, the Artery, the Empress, they are all in Edmonton. They're really great at building communities. Thanks. You're all true blue. Yeah, you are. You're true blue. You're the real deal. Yeah, you are. Thank you.